Hi, I am Pastor Greg of the Jordan Assembly of God Church in Jordan, Montana. It is truly great to share this recorded live-streamed Sunday service with you. The message you are listening to is part of our Sunday worship. Whether you're joining us live or exploring past messages, we invite you to visit our webpage at jordanaog.com. Currently, we are delving into Paul's letters to Timothy, known as the pastoral letters. These letters instructs both leaders as well as churchgoers on living a Christian life daily. So without further delay, let us immerse ourselves into Letters to Timothy. We are heading on into 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy is the first letter known as the pastoral letters written by Paul. What we as leaders, as teachers, as pastors can learn, as well as congregational members together. Because a lot of times we get confused in the fact that the pastor and the teachers are still members of the congregation. Just because we're called to lead, we're also called to be amongst, so we're all a part of that family. And so we had just gotten done with the Thessalonian series, and I just wanted to recap that series to kind of end it all out. And to sum up that series, the effect of Jesus on our hearts produces an effect. Remember, effect is to look upon something that is not natural for me to do, but yet I look upon something and I allow my life to be molded after what I see. So the event, such as the event of recognizing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again for my sins, that event has an effect if I allow it, if I look on something that's not natural for me and I do it. Then the next one, that belief in Jesus allows us to rejoice because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It allows us to pray always. It allows us to be thankful. And I put up that acronym up there, RPT, to remember that, just kind of a little short thing, rejoice, pray, and be thankful. Our change of heart changes our reactions to how people deal with us. When whatever daily thing that we deal with, our change of heart changes our reactions. This change worked out, doesn't allow for us, and we learned this last week, doesn't allow for us to point out other people's errors. It does, however, encourages us not to be weary in doing good. Do not be idle, but that we are all working together for following after Christ because we are part of the body of Christ. So as we enter into the 1 Timothy, the pastoral letters, we're going to start out today in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And right now we're just going to go through a part of it and then we'll go through more later. And it says here in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this time as we go through your word and as we fellowship with one another. I pray, Father, that you may be with those who could not be with us today. And I pray, Father, that you may bless and keep and heal. In your name I pray. Amen. We're heading on into Timothy, and this is an intro to that pastoral letter. And in 1 Timothy, that book was written by Paul, or letter I should say. Where he wrote it is not necessarily specified. I tried to look up information for it, did not really find a specified deal for where he wrote it from. However, it is agreed mostly that it is near the end of his life. Also, given the characteristics of the writing of the letter, what they have determined is that it was more than likely, especially Second Timothy, more than even the first one, but in these letters that Paul dictated them and another person actually wrote it, just kind of one of those minor things. pastoral letters are a perfect, which is, once again, it's letters to Timothy and Titus, are perfect follow-ups to Thessalonians, because in Thessalonians we had a lot of the encouragement to allow God to work upon our hearts, God to work upon our lives. Well, then where do we get the pastors? Where do we get the teachers? What, you know, how does that all work together? Our characters are being developed at this point in time. God assigns certain characteristic traits for us for his good pleasure. So in Philippians chapter 2, hopefully you've taken the few minutes to actually head on over to Philippians. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 18, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God that works in us. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Do you think he might know some of the difficulties? I'm just saying. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So our call as encouragers is because we need encouragement. I don't know about you, but there are times that I want to complain. Just saying. Right? There are times when what else was the instructions? Oh, and there are times when I want to dispute. Right? There are those times, and I need encouragement, and you need encouragement. Oh, well, I mean, you know, maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one that actually deals with these things, but I'm just saying that then in those times, isn't it nice to have a person that will encourage us in that? Will be able to walk us through that. And leaders are supposed to. And so other leaders help other leaders, and people help leaders, and friends help friends, and people all working together. And this all kind of builds into the very next portion, because we're not doing this alone. And you remember that we were in Ephesians there for a little bit at the very beginning. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it says this in 7 through 16, but to each one of us, not each pastor out there, not each leader, not each person that is, you know, in a position of authority, but rather all of us is given grace, was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And you may be wondering, why did he go into the amount of detail in this? Because it's very important to understand that the God that we serve has authority both in the descent and in up above. It is all authority, which means that when God says something, when God is wanting us to do something, it has an authority that basically says it's not whether or not if you want to kind of thing. It's a we do. It's an authority of our lives that is going on. So there's an authority. And in verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some a prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And this is where we get very much into the detail of why he given these. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth, this is very important, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So in Ephesians, the pastoral letters and dealing with what is given, it clarifies the responsibilities. The responsibilities of the leader to equip, perfecting. This is pointing out fine points. This is sometimes comes across as kind of blunt sometimes, or sometimes it comes across as something that we may not want to hear. And the reason why we don't want to hear it is because these are fine points of instruction. Just as when a friend or another person comes up to me and says, Greg, I'm noticing this, right? Because sometimes we get lost in the fact that just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I'm not amongst everybody else. We're all working in this together. We are all walking this together. And even though we are gifted in different ways, we are all gifted in certain things that we do, but we're all gifted with one thing, and that is the salvation through Jesus Christ. And so we are all saved in that realm. And so to equip, to edify, that word means to promote of one's further growth. So it also sets the expectations. It clarifies those expectations. Leaders are there to point out and to promote your walk and further your growth in your ministry with the Lord. So, Greg, what do you mean by ministry? I'm like, because we all have a ministry in the Lord. You yourself, Greg, I go to work. Yes. And God works in you in your work. Well, Greg, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, or I'm not up here leading. I'm not a pastor. I'm not any of those things. What are you talking about ministry? Every single time when you walk with the light of Jesus in you, that wherever you are at, that's where your ministry is. So as a pastor, to further that growth, to equip, to edify as Sunday school teachers, as leaders, as people in authority, to help others to continue that walk and to do what you need to do for one purpose, to glorify God in whatever area you are at. Be as wise as serpents, as gentle as doves, is what Jesus says. It's very, very important that we learn how to minister in whatever environment we are ministering unto. I have ran into the most interesting conversations that I would have never thought would happen in an environment that I never thought would actually ever be. Right? I don't know if anybody remembers the time when I told you I was going to Ryan's and I was in the milk aisle, and all I was doing was just picking up milk, and somebody saw me, and there was a conversation that happened, and there was the whole time period where God really worked a hand in something that I had no idea about. All I was doing was going Ryan's picking up milk. That's it. That's all I was doing. So God can use you in whatever is happening, going there. And in Thessalonians, we were told not to weary in doing good. Okay? So who is good? Well, God is good. Do not weary in doing what God's will is going on in your life. Okay? And if something is going on, calling me up and saying, Greg, this is what's going on. It's very important for us to understand that you are right in that spot right there. So my job at that point in time is to encourage your ministry at that point. So a phone call is all about like, okay, so my advice or my encouragement or my edifying to you right now in that position, in that situation, is for you to glorify God in that situation. And it is, there's a lot of that to do. The leader is not there to do it, but the leader is there to help support you in walking and help support you in doing. So what are some of the fine points in leadership? What are some of those fine points of directing people to actually do? One of the major things that I have seen and I have actually lived and I have actually dealt with, and that is to avoid burnout. Avoid burnout. Okay. There's a little note here. God gives you the energy to do what he wills you to do. He does not give you the energy to do what you want to do. Okay. However, here's the problem. There are times when we take the energy we have and we do what we feel is necessary instead of doing what God wants us to do with our energy. Okay. And I'm going to give this example. Last week, I told you about my I was really down. I was ready to give up on worship team. I was really down. And that was going on. And what happened was is that the worship team gathered around, we prayed, we gathered around, and one of the things that happened was is that we now pray every single Sunday before we come in, because we need to focus our week. We need to talk about things that we're concerned with, and we're able to pray that through and come out here and do worship. And so a lot of those things, but what was going on? Well, it wasn't God's fault that I was burned out. It wasn't God's fault that I was having problems. It was mine. I was trying to shoulder something that I didn't need to shoulder, and I needed to learn to share. I needed to learn to allow people to actually, that I share with, that can pray with me, that can help me, that can encourage me in what I'm doing. And so that being the case, we can actually work that. So whose issue was it? It was mine. And I need to learn that. But nothing really changed. Except I was no longer alone. Nothing really changed except for I was no longer trying to actually shoulder something. Right? I still had, you know, I'm still, you know, leading the worship. I'm still there. But I am so much freer. But nothing has changed. But I'm so much freer. But why? Because I learned. Right? So avoid burnout. Sometimes a lot of things that are actually burning you out is something that you're trying to shoulder that you're not supposed to shoulder. Right? And also, not to mention, in some ways, sometimes we get so busy and wrapped up in what we think we need to actually do that we do not have time to do what God wants us to do. Now, how do you know something that God wants you to do? A lot of times what will happen is that God will bring something to mind. You will notice something that needs to be done. But then the very next response comes from our flesh of what we can do or what we cannot do. Sometimes God brings something to mind and says, go, you know, accomplish this. Go do this. But then we start going to our Rolodex of schedule. And then we just can't. We can't do it because of our Rolodex's schedule. Now, here's the thing. This is not pointing fingers. This is pointing fingers at me more than anything else like that. So if you understand where this is going, then that's between God and you, because this is not me pointing fingers. This is me making fine points. Fine points. Remember, edifying so that you can do what? Not so that we can accomplish what we want to accomplish, but so that we can actually accomplish the glorifying of God. Of doing what God wants us to do. So let us not be so busy with ourselves that we tire in doing what His will is. All right? So what happens? Well, and also I want to highlight this because this is very, very, very important. Speaking truth in love equals growth. Notice that it's speaking truth in love. Speaking truth in love equals growth. Remember back in Ephesians. Speaking truth in love equals growth. Not just speaking truth in love. I want you to, and that should guard our mouths, that should guard our statements, that should guard our words, because there's many times where truth is spoken, but truth is spoken in a way like, well, you should have, could have, would have done whatever. Speaking truth in love is very, very, very important. So how do I know when I'm wrapped up into my own stuff? How can I actually see that? How do I know when that is going on? 1 Timothy, you probably thought, Greg, we'll never get to 1 Timothy. I'm getting to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, looking at verses 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in the faith. Okay. Paul brings out a lot of things in this, other than his introduction, other than which was a normal thing for him, granting grace, mercy, and peace. But notice how he actually put down that not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies. Here's what you will find when you start getting wrapped up into the things that you think are important. You will start getting lost in things that really don't necessarily edify or bring a person to the faith, but they sound really, really great. They can be, and they probably feel very, very important, but we get lost in those things because our attention gets drawn to the shiny. Okay, our attention gets drawn to something. Oh, that's interesting, or that needs to, and we get lost in the, once again, into the shoulda, coulda, wouldas, and getting lost in those things. The question comes in, are you finding yourself wearying and doing what is good with all the things that you're getting focused in on? I'm not saying that those are wrong things, because I am not the determiner of that. What I'm saying is that are you finding yourself wearying and doing what God has brought to mind because you are focused on things that are really cool but maybe drawing you away? And here's also another question. Are you finding yourself getting lost into the minutiae of things, the little minor details? And here's some questions for you. Are you finding yourself being critical? Are you finding yourself where you are irritated, frustrated, where burnout is almost there? You're just about ready just to stop everything because you are just so exhausted. You are so tired. You can't do it. I have been here, by the way. What you will find is when you are running this area, when you are wrapped up in other things, you will find this very much hitting you so very, very much. But the problem is a lot of times we feel burnout not in the area that we should be dumping. Oftentimes we find our burnout in the very area that we should actually continue, but yet we're not having the energy to do it what we should continue because we're focused on the things that we may not want to give up, but we need to. It's very, very hard to be willing to look in the mirror and say, you know what? The thing that I do not feel that I have energy to do is actually this area right here. I feel tired when I get to this area over here, but when I do this, I feel like I'm doing what I need to be doing, but when I'm doing this, I don't, but I don't want to give up this. Are you understanding? And that's when you really, truly feel this way. So what exactly is burning you out? Because I will tell you that our flesh is a great liar, and it wants to do what it wants to do. And Greg, this just feels like it's going to go on. No, I'm actually near the end, believe it or not. So Just hang on just for a few minutes and we'll be there. The pastoral's letters both give instruction to us as leaders as well as those in the assembly. Us as leaders need to build up and encourage you in the things that God wants you to do. We may have to point out things that maybe God doesn't want you to do, but honestly, though, those things are really going to have to be between God and you, because God is the one that both, what did we learn in Ephesians? God is the one that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure. God is, work out your own salvation with what? With fear and trembling. For God is the one that works in you. God is the one that works in you to do his good will. You will always have the energy that you need to further God's will. No problem in that. But can you focus so much on other things that what God wants you to do, you feel tired at? Yeah, it can happen. It can very happen. I've seen leaders suffer burnout. I have suffered burnout. I've done that. Been there. Seen that. I'm talking more from experience more than anything else. I've walked this road. It's not a fun road to go. And normally you hit that wall very hard. You're go, 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 go. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. And then in 5 minutes, you've hit that wall and you are ready to be done. You're ready to be done. You've had enough. Everything goes away. Everything needs to. But you need to stop and ask yourself those questions that I brought up. What is really burning you out? What is really where you're spending your energy in? What is really needing to be dumped? Because God is the one that works in you both to do and to do his good pleasure, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And like I said, only you and your relationship with God can know that. That's the reason why this is so important after Thessalonians. Remember, he's the one working in our hearts. He's the one giving us strength. He's the one walking us through. So it's our relationship in the body of Christ. It's our relationship building together up. So where leaders are building up the body of Christ, focusing on relationship with God, what's your relation? What is your focus? Where do you need to go? You need to keep that focus on God. Listen to what he wants you to do. Listen to what he needs you to do. And in your daily walk, find ways that glorify God. Find things. Look for things. Where is God going? There, I kid you not. I am willing to bet any amount of money that you want to put against any amount of the money that I have, which is probably about 2 cents. But anyway, any amount that every single day there is not a given minute that God is not directing your steps. And the only way that you're going to be able to know what God is actually doing is for you to stop, drop and pray, and you need to put your focus on exactly where it needs to be, because God is working in you. God is working in you. Focus on your relationship. Where leaders focus on the beneficial, notice what we say. Focus on this. Do not get lost in certain things. Do not get distracted by certain things. Where we are focusing on the beneficial, we all need to be mindful of what may lead to conflict. If what is going on, if my words or my actions or whatever may lead to conflict, then I need to stop and I need to basically within love, okay, how can I approach this in a loving manner? Or maybe I need to kind of pause it for a little bit, give it a little bit of time to rest, and then maybe go at it where either A, my attitude needs to be different, or B, my words need to change, whatever. We as the body of Christ, so leaders focus on what is beneficial, and then we as the body of Christ, mindful of what may lead to conflict. Very importantly, these letters manage expectations. We get lost in the shoulda, coulda, wouldas of the, well, that shouldn't have happened, and that could have happened. And here's what I have realized, is that if it is in your ability to actually take care of that deal, then by all means take care of it. If it is not in your ability to do, then pray about it. And once again, in love, work that. Speaking truth in love equals growth. Not just your growth, but growth in the body of Christ. Because here's the thing, is that should we care for one another? Let me think. No, I'm almost getting it. I'm almost positive that Jesus said something about love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We're pretty close to being neighbors. Just saying. So speaking truth in love that we may all grow. I cannot tell you how many times I am thankful for a person. I wasn't thankful at the time, maybe, but I am thankful for the people who came up to me and said, Greg, and then afterward, it was something that I really didn't want to hear, but it was something that I needed to hear. I have really good friends, and you know who you are, and if you don't know who you are, just saying, I have really good friends. And I don't always want to hear what my good friends have to say, but I always need to hear what my good friends have to say, because those things keep me speaking truth in love. As we go through these pastoral letters, we will discover a lot of instructions that can apply to everyone, not just pastors. So the very next one is the purpose of the commandment we're going to be studying next Sunday. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this day, and I want to thank you for this time. I pray, Father, that you be glorified in our hearts and in our minds. And I pray, Father, that we may have a wonderful week, that we may notice the things that are going on. And Father, that we may avoid that burnout, and that we may avoid those things so that we might be able to do your will. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to this message on Letters to Timothy. More messages and current events can be found at jordanaog.com. Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day.